Particular tonight. Of course, you need not open your Bibles. I'm going to try to read a verse or two. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, He it is whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That which thou doest, do quickly. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now for these moments that we shall sober our hearts and think on these things. Give us an awareness of thy presence now in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please listen very, very carefully for just a few moments. He was a young man. He heard one day that a preacher was coming to town. This preacher had gained some notoriety as he had preached in the wilderness. Multitudes had flocked to hear him. The preacher made such statements as, There cometh one after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He made such statements as he must increase and I must decrease. He was a strange preacher. His clothing was different. Never had this young man seen or heard a clergyman like this preacher. He was dressed in camel's hair. And his diet was very strange. His diet was locust and wild honey. And his message was most unusual. He kept crying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was a crude fellow. It was obvious that he was not trained in the local seminaries, nor the Bible colleges. But there was a certain ring about him that seemed sincere to this young man who went to hear him. He didn't go to make a decision. He went out of curiosity. But after he got there, something began to speak to his heart. He felt the message was for him. He heard this strange preacher dressed in camel's hair, eating a diet of locust and wild honey and preaching. Unusual kind of fella, unusual kind of garments, unusual kind of diet, preaching an unusual kind of message. And this young man felt a burning in his heart. All of a sudden, he was convicted by the Holy Spirit. Down the aisle he came. He did not admit that he was a sinner in his heart, nor did he admit that he was unable to save himself. But he made some kind of a decision. He walked an aisle. He did not realize that he was a sinner and that sinners are lost, and that the one of whom this preacher was foretelling would go to Calvary and pay his penalty for his sin. He did not, by faith, receive the finished work of Calvary that was yet to come as his hope for heaven. I think I can see this strange preacher, John the Baptist, as he said, We have today coming professing his faith in Christ, young Judas Iscariot, fine young man. He says he's trusting Christ as his Savior. But Judas Iscariot did not trust Christ as his Savior. He almost said at the time, no doubt, Hold it, Mr. John the Baptist. I'd like for somebody to pray with me now and tell me exactly what it means. But pride got in his way. He did not admit that he was unsaved. Ladies and gentlemen, walking the aisle to the Baptist church won't get you a step toward heaven. Joining a church, making a public profession of your faith, and if you walk the aisle, and when you walk the aisle, if you did not know that you were a sinner, if you did not know that sinners are lost and condemned to the fires of hell, if you did not know that God became flesh and that Jesus Christ went to Calvary and paid the penalty for your sin for you, and if you did not by faith rely upon Him and Him alone to take you to heaven, you can walk the aisle in a dozen churches and still die and go to hell. Judas Iscariot almost said, hold it, hold it. But just like many of you, his pride kept him from doing it. Why am I not a good man? I'm one of the outstanding young men of the neighborhood. Everybody trusts me. I don't need to get born again. I don't need to admit I'm a sinner. I don't need to wallow in a mourner's bench. I don't need to confess the fact I cannot save myself. I'm a good man. And then there came the moment when John the Baptist buried Judas Iscariot in believer's baptism. I think I can see the scene. I baptized myself. On two occasions, I baptized in the Jordan River. I recall I baptized a half a dozen people there in the Jordan River. And as we walked out into the river, a crowd on the bank sang, on Jordan's stormy banks, I can stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. And while the crowd sang them, I buried, I guess, a half a dozen people in believer's baptism, looking across the Jordan to the land of Canaan. Well, Judas Iscariot was baptized by John the Baptist himself. John the Baptist must have said something like this, ladies and gentlemen. Judas Iscariot has received Christ as his Savior. He's trusted the Christ who's going to come and live and die and rise again as his Savior. Judas Iscariot opened his mouth and said, I'd like to say a word. He almost said, I shouldn't get baptized yet because I didn't really receive Christ as my Savior. I'm not really born again. I cannot sing. I'll sing it. I'll tell it wherever I go. I want all to hear it. And I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow. For I've been born again. Oh, Judas Iscariot, join the wrong church if you will. But don't take a chance on your soul. Don't take a chance on not being saved. Judas Iscariot, get the wrong baptism if you will. But get saved. Whatever you do, what should it profit you, Judas, if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? But Judas said to himself, I better not say it. He almost said, Brother John, I'm not really saved. Before I get baptized, would you explain to me right here in the Jordan River now that I can be saved so I can get born again? But Judas Iscariot was too proud, just like you are. You don't want to admit to friends and who have confidence in you that you're not really born again. You don't want to admit to folks that sit beside you in Sunday school that you're not really born again. You don't want to admit to one that shares the same bed at home with you that you're not really born again. You don't want to admit to the one that sits beside you in a Christian college that you're not really born again. But listen to the words of Jesus who said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Judas Iscariot was baptized, went in a dry sinner, and came out a wet sinner. One day, Judas Iscariot decided he wanted to be a preacher. He decided that he had surrendered his life to preach. Other young men were. It was a popular thing to do. His friends were doing it. John, and Peter, and Andrew, and Philip, Bartholomew. And down the aisle, Judas Iscariot came, and the pastor stood and said, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're so happy and proud that Judas Iscariot has come and surrendered his life to preach the gospel. And Judas Iscariot almost got up and said, hold it, preacher, before you go any further, I've not been saved. I may be a preacher, but I'm not saved. I may cast out devils, but I'm not saved. I may have folks saved under my preaching, but I'm not saved. I'm not born again. Hold it, hold it, hold it. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are. I don't care what you've done. If you don't know that you 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 know you've been born again in God's name, don't gamble on your never dying soul. Not many miles from here, a famous preacher lay dying. He'd preached for 50 years, most of the time in this state. If I called his name, most of you would know it. That preacher lay dying. Dr. Walter Wilson told me he sat beside him as he died. And as he died, he looked up and he said, I've been preaching for these years. I've been baptizing. I've been preaching the gospel. But he said, Brother Walter, I'm not saved. I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. And his friend said, okay, trust the Savior now. I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. I've been a preacher, but I'm going to hell. Last words he said. Walter, I'm going to hell. I don't care how far you've got. I recall years ago, the first Sword of the Lord conference I ever preached in. An old white-haired man heard me preach the first sermon I preached. He followed me around all the rest of the conference. He was a preacher. He just followed me around. And finally, after 2 days, he said, Dr. Hiles, Brother Hiles, he said, I want to talk to you. And I said, what is it? He said, for over 35 years, I've been preaching the gospel. And every time I gave a gospel invitation, I knew I wasn't saved. Every time I baptized a convert, I knew I wasn't saved. Oh, how many times have I wanted to say, I'm not saved. Stop the service, your pastor is not saved. How many times I wanted to say, listen, I don't care if you're an evangelist. If you've not been born again, you're not going to go to heaven. I don't care if you're a pastor. If you've not been born again, you're not going to go to heaven. I don't care if you're the best man in your neighborhood. If you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. I don't care if you belong to 2 churches, been baptized, sprinkled, dipped, and dry cleaned. I don't care. If you have not been born again, you're not going to go to heaven. Oh, I say again, Judas, don't take a chance on your soul. Judas, admit it. Say it now, Judas. Say it, say it, say it, say it, say it, say it. But he was too proud. He was too proud. Was he not one of the most trusted young men in the neighborhood? Was he not already baptized by John the Baptist? If anybody could save you by baptism, surely John the Baptist could. Did not the one that laid him in the watery grave of baptism also lay the Savior in the watery grave of baptism? Did not those hands that held him as he was lowered into the Jordan River, did not those same hands lower even our Savior into the Jordan River? Then the day came when he was ordained to the gospel ministry. I think I see a mother there, proud of a son. I think I see a father there, proud of his boy. I think I see a pastor there, proud of his young preacher boy. I think I see friends there, proud of their friend. Pastor gets up and he says something like this, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to set aside the gospel ministry. Young man that all of us know and all of us love, one of the finest young men in this church. His name is Judas Iscariot. Judas, would you stand up and give a word of testimony? Judas Iscariot stood and said something like this, I think. He said, I went down to hear John the Baptist preach. And I walked the aisle and I got saved. But in his soul, he said, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I can fool these people. I can fool my dad. I can fool my mother. I can fool my pastor. I can fool my friends. But I can't fool myself. And he almost said, Mama and Dad, before I get ordained, I've got to admit something. When I walked the aisle, when John preached, I was only a curiosity seeker. I did not know that I was a sinner. I did not know that I was lost and condemned to die in the torments of hell. Nor did I know that Jesus was going to come and pay my penalty on the cross. Nor did I fully rely upon Him as my Savior. And I was not born again. He almost said it. He should have. Judas, I don't care if you got to be embarrassed in front of your mom. I don't care if you got to be embarrassed in front of your dad. I don't care if you got to be embarrassed in front of your preacher. I don't care if you got to be embarrassed in front of the deacons. Judas, just don't stand before God someday and be embarrassed before God. Don't do it, Judas.
Don't do it! Don't do it! Don't do it!
And then holy hands are laid on him. Godly men placed hands on his brow and prayed for God to bless him in the ministry. He walked away. Church member, but not saved. Baptized, but not saved. Called to preach, but not saved. Ordained to preach, but not saved. And one day, there came the stranger of Galilee. There came the Messiah walking on the shores of Galilee. Judas Iscariot saw him. And Jesus said, I need 12 men to be my apostles. I need you to follow me, watch me, let me train you. So when I'm gone, you can carry this message of grace that I now preach. I want to choose Peter. Andrew, I want you. James, I want you. John, you're one. And then, to the surprise of no one but Judas Iscariot, Jesus said, Judas, I want you to be one of my 12 apostles. And Judas walked up to Jesus, almost said, I think, Jesus, before I answer you, I've got to get saved. I joined the church, but I wasn't saved. I walked the aisle, but I wasn't saved. I got baptized, but I wasn't saved. I got called to preach, but I wasn't saved. I got ordained, but I wasn't saved. Jesus, let me bow at your feet and trust you as my Savior. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm headed for hell. And I know you're going to die for me. And I trust you as my Savior and trust you and your penalty you're going to pay on the cross to take me to heaven. But he didn't do it. He didn't want his brother Hiles to know. He didn't want his Dr. Evans to know. He didn't want his Sunday school teacher to know. He didn't want Jesus to have to hear him say, I'm not born again. Oh, Judas, Judas, don't go any further. After a while, you'll go so far, you'll be too hard to get saved. Judas, stop. Tell Jesus you're not saved. Tell him now. Tell him now. Tell him now. Tell him now, Judas. Tucked away in this great crowd tonight, there are dozens of people, and I know this is true, and I'm not trying to disturb anybody who's saved. I'm trying to disturb those of you whose names are on a church roll, but you've not been born again. I'm trying to disturb those of you who've gone to the watery graves of baptism, but you've not been born again. I'm trying to disturb those of you who've walked an aisle and had your name taken, but you've not been born again. I'm trying to disturb those of you who've even been called a priest, but you've not been born again. I'm trying to disturb those of you who are, you ladies, who are married to Christian men, but you've not been born again. I'm trying to say in God's dear name, for your future's sake, for heaven's sake, for hell's sake, for Jesus' sake, you be sure you are saved before you leave this building tonight. One day, Jesus said, fellas, the offerings are getting larger. We've got to have somebody to be our treasurer. And one of the 12 said, I nominate Judas Iscariot. There's an honest man in this group. It's Judas Iscariot. If there's a good man in this group, it's Judas Iscariot. But being honest don't take you to heaven. And being good don't take you to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy have He saved us, by the washing of regeneration. Jesus said, we couldn't make a better choice. Our lovely Lord took the bag and gave it to Judas Iscariot. And Judas saw those hands that soon would be pierced by nails. He saw those feet that soon would walk up Golgotha. He saw those shoulders that soon would be beaten beyond recognition. He saw that brow that soon would wear a crown of thorns. He saw that heard that voice that soon would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Judas Iscariot received from the lovely hands of our loving Lord the money bag. And Judas, I think, almost said, hold it, Jesus, before I take that back. I've got a confession to make. Jesus, I walked the aisle when John was
was preaching, but I wasn't really born again. I got baptized by John's hands, just like you did, but I wasn't really born again. And I was called to preach, I thought, but I wasn't born again. And I was ordained, but I knew I wasn't born again. I almost told it when I got baptized. I almost admitted it when I got called to preach. I almost told it when I got ordained. I almost told it when you chose me to be an apostle, but I was ashamed, embarrassed to do it. Jesus, I want to get saved before I take that bag. But it would have been embarrassing. John thought he was saved. He didn't want John to lose his confidence in him. Peter thought Judas was saved, the most trusted of the disciples, perhaps. He did not want Peter to lose his confidence in him. Andrew, the steady Andrew, thought Judas Iscariot did not want Andrew to lose his confidence in him. I'm saying that he hushed his mouth and didn't say what he wanted to say and took the bag. And then for those 3 years, he saw our Lord pray on Mount Olivet. He saw the blood drop from his brow as perspiration looked like blood. He saw him when he reached out his hand and calmed the waves and stilled the storms. He heard that precious voice say, "Suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." He saw him as he healed the sick. He saw him raise the dead. He saw him as he caused the lame to leap like a hart, and the dumb to speak, and the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, and the crippled to run. He saw him. He heard him on the Sermon on the Mount. He sat there and heard that marvelous message, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed the poor, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. He heard that Sermon on the Mount. He heard Jesus preach. He heard him teach. He saw him perform miracles. I wonder how many times when someone came to Christ, Judas Iscariot said, "I wish I had the courage. I wish I had the courage." And then he heard the Savior preach the gospel of redeeming grace. I wonder how many times he almost admitted. I'd 10,000 times, if I did not know I were saved tonight, I'd stop this sermon and I'd say tonight, "Folks, I'm pastor of this church, but I do not know that I'm born again." And I'd 10,000 times rather be embarrassed by this great crowd of people tonight who have confidence in me and who are my people and who are my pastor, and someday stand before God and the whole universe hear Jesus say to me, "Depart from me, you cursed, I never knew you." Then they gathered to an upper room. The Savior ate with his disciples. They heard him speak, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house have many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Judas Iscariot saw our Lord in that upper room where he took a towel and girded himself and washed the feet of the disciples. And Judas knew he wasn't saved. I wonder how many times in that upper room that day when Jesus spoke of his coming death, I wonder how many times Judas Iscariot almost said, "Jesus, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I'm really. John, I walked the aisle when John was preaching, but I wasn't born again. John baptized me like he did you, but I wasn't born again. I was called. I thought to preach, and I surrendered, but I wasn't born again. I was ordained, but I wasn't born again. I was chosen to be an apostle, but I wasn't born again. I was made the treasure, but I wasn't born again. Jesus, before it's too late, I want to get on my knees before you and hug your feet and say, 'Jesus, save my soul. I trust you now as my Savior.'" And then they sang a hymn, went out to the Mount of Olives. There was Jesus praying. "Beneath the stars of the night walked the Savior of light in a garden of dew-laden breeze. 'Not my will but thine be done,' cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on his knees. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive trees, standing in the shadows. Is that young man, not as young as he was, his face is not as fair as it used to be, his look is not as innocent as it was when he went out to hear John preach that first time. He said no to the gospel many a time. John thought he was saved. Peter thought he was saved. Philip thought he was saved. Bartholomew thought he was saved. James thought he was saved. Andrew thought he was saved. And there's Judas, one of the 12. One of the ones who saw him bless the little children. One of the ones who heard him preach the Sermon on the Mount. One of the ones who saw him heal the eyes and give sight to the eyes of blind Bartimaeus. One who saw him as he said, Zacchaeus, I come to your house today. One who saw him as he healed the man who had been sick for 38 years at the Pool of Bethesda. There he is with the soldiers. Shh! Which one is he? Which one is he? I'll kiss him. I'll go up and I'll kiss his brow. The one I kiss, that's the one. And Judas Iscariot, if anybody ever had a chance to get saved, it was Judas Iscariot. He tiptoes through the dark shadows of Gethsemane. He listens to the Savior as he prays. He prayed for you and he prayed for me. He prayed that you and I'd be one. He prayed for our joy. He prayed for us to be kept from the evil one. Judas tiptoes. His lips are puckered. He's about to place a kiss on his brow. And soon the soldiers will get their sign to come and take him away to Caiaphas, on to Pilate, on to Herod, back to Pilate, onto the cross and on to Calvary. And Judas pauses there. I think I'll tell him now. I'm not going to kiss him. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to punch him on the shoulder and say, Jesus! Jesus! I'm about to betray you. I'm about to kiss you on the brow and tell the soldiers, which one is you? But Jesus, I'm not going to do it. I want you to save my soul. Back yonder, when John preached, I heard him. I was intrigued by him. I liked him. I walked the aisle, but I wasn't born again. John baptized me in Jordan like he did you. But I wasn't born again. I surrendered my life to full-time service, but I wasn't born again. I was ordained to preach, but I wasn't born again. I was chosen to be an apostle, but I wasn't born again. I was chosen a treasure, but I wasn't born again. I sat with you at that table a while ago, but I'm not born again. Jesus, I want to get born again. How foolish you are to let some embarrassment send your soul plunging toward a Christless grave. How foolish you are to let your pride keep you from rising to say, I want to get born again. How foolish, how foolish, how foolish! You don't know that you know that you know that you're saved. I don't care who you are, what you've done, or what folks think about you. Nothing in the world is worth gambling your soul over. Nothing. But I've already made a deal with these men. I've already made a deal. I got the money in my pocket now. I've got it tucked away in my bag right now. I've already made the deal. It's too late now. I've crossed the deadline. It's too late. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a place by us unseen, a place I know not where, that marks the destiny of man between sorrow and despair. One of these days you'll say no to Jesus so long you won't ever say yes anymore. One of these days you'll say, no, I know I'm lost, but I won't admit it. I know I'm going to hell, but I won't admit it. Someday I will. Someday I will. But the road of by and by leads to the city of never. And one day your soul will be condemned to hell. Judas places the the kiss of betrayal upon the lovely brow of our lovely Lord. The soldiers come to lead him away. Peter picks up his sword and tries to chop the head off one of the soldiers. The soldier ducks. He gets his ear. Jesus puts the ear back on and follows meekly as a lamb led to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is dumb. He opened not his mouth. He goes to Calvary. Judas Iscariot reaches his bag and pulls out his money, 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver for an eternity in hell? 30 paltry pieces of silver for a hell fire forever and ever and ever? How foolish. He takes his money, throws it down. But legend has it, the money bounced back in his hands. He tried again. Legend said, throw it down. Bounced back in his hands. He threw it. It came back. He threw it. It came back. He threw it. I don't want it. I don't want it. This is black money. I don't want it. It bounced back in his hands. Outside the city of Jerusalem, there's a hill. I can see it in my mind now. And Judas went to that hill and plunged himself headlong down the hill, committed suicide. But Judas didn't die. He still lives tonight. He still lives in the torments of hell, screaming and crying and begging for mercy, remembering a strange preacher who came to town, remembering that day that he walked the aisle but wasn't born again, wishing and wishing and hoping and hoping and wishing he could have another chance to sit and hear John as he once did. In hell tonight, Judas Iscariot, for these 2,000 years burning in the torments of hell, Judas Iscariot remembers that day when John took him and lowered his body in the watery grave of the Jordan River and believers' baptism, except he was not a believer. Judas Iscariot remembers the baptism. He remembers how he almost stopped and admitted that he wasn't saved and asked for somebody to tell him. In hell tonight, Judas Iscariot remembers that time when he walked an aisle and surrendered his life to preach. He remembers how he almost got it before the people and said, people, I better get saved before I become a preacher. In hell tonight, after 2,000 years of burning in the torments of the damned, Judas Iscariot remembers that when he was ordained and when holy hands were laid on his brow, and how proud his mother and daddy were. But Judas remembers he was lost, and he remembers how he almost got up and said, I want to get saved. But pride kept him from it. Now tonight, for 2,000 years, his soul is burned in the torments of hell. Tonight he's there remembering, with the worm of his conscience boring deeper and deeper and deeper as he remembers. The Lord Jesus held his hand out and said, Judas, be one of my 12. He remembers tonight with chagrin and horror and remorse and how that Jesus said, I want you to take the bag and be the treasure of the disciples. He remembers how that he sat at the Last Supper. He remembers tonight that praying of the Savior in Gethsemane's garden. He remembers that kiss of betrayal. And Judas is burning tonight in the torments of the damned, a place of darkness, a place of, I don't care, say it, like it, believe it or not, it doesn't matter. The soul that sin if it shall die, and the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all those that forget God, and then should he say to those in the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Let the modernists laugh at it, and let the liberals make fun of it, and let the disbelievers and doubters and skeptics and Madeline Murray O'Hare's doubt it. There is a hell where people who are not born again burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. He'll be there, and he'll be there, and he'll be there, burning and crying and screaming and remembering and wishing. And then one day, he's crying and screaming, this will happen someday out in the future. Oh, send Lazarus, somebody,
Give me a drop of water. A drop of water to cool my tongue. Turning and falling and burning and twisting and crying and screaming and remembering.
One day, you'll say, let me out.
Let me out. I've been here long enough. Let me out.
All of a sudden, he hears the lock being tampered with. He looks up and he sees the door to hell opening. Finally.
Oh, finally. I'm getting out. I'm getting out.
He does get out. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. I'm out. And then he sees a throne. And he sees the one whom he followed sitting on that throne. That throne, the white throne, the dead, small and great, stand before him, and the name is called Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot. And Judas stands before his God. And Jesus says, Judas, is your name in the book? And Judas says, Lord, I've been there 2,000 years and over. Lord, I've paid my due. Is your name in the book? Now, Lord, you know, you lived in Palestine. You know what an honest boy I was. Is your name in the book? Jesus, you remember me. John baptized me. Is your name in the book? Jesus, you know I preached for 3 years. I followed you. I helped you. I fed you. I carried your coat. Jesus, is your name in the book? Jesus, I was a preacher. Is your name in the book? Jesus, I was the treasure. You trusted me yourself. You gave me that money. And Jesus, you know I kept it. And I kept an accounting. And you know that's true. Is your name in the book? But Jesus, I belong to the church. Is your name in the book? But Jesus, I got people saved. And is your name in the book? Jesus, I was a good man. You know that. Is your name in the book? But Jesus, I never took what wasn't mine until one day when I took that. Is your name in the book? It doesn't matter, Judas, that you were a preacher. It doesn't matter, Judas, that you belong to a church. It doesn't matter, Judas, that you were a good man, honest man. It doesn't matter you were a good husband and a good father. It doesn't matter that you walked with Jesus. It doesn't matter that you fed him food and gave him water to drink. It doesn't matter that you helped people. It doesn't matter that you fed the poor. It doesn't matter that you joined the church. It doesn't matter that you were at the Lord's Supper. It doesn't matter that you were at the Last Supper. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Only one thing matters, Judas. Is your name in the book? Judas bows his head. And both his body and soul are cast to the lake of fire. As long as God lives, Judas will burn there. And remember. I wonder if some of you will sit there and remember an old-fashioned service on December 11, 1983, when a faithful, sincere preacher stood and said, don't gamble with your soul. But you were too embarrassed to admit, knowing that you're not saved and knowing that you'd never been born of the Spirit of God, you sit there tonight gambling with your soul. And one day, because of pride, you'll be there. And remember. I ask you one question. Can you take me to a place and point that place to me and say, preacher, right there. I may not recall the month or the day of the month, but I remember what happened right there. I realized I was a sinner. I realized that sinners are lost. And I realized that Christ paid the penalty for me. And I trusted him and him alone.